I never thought I would record something about this, but I feel it's very important to ask ourselves the right question at this point of time. Amongst the rising communal violence in our country in recent times, it's important to ask ourselves how much has this intolerance, this hatred for each other has risen. Has it reached a level where innocents get killed and the agents of hatred just sit on their thrones and let upon ourselves an apocalypse just based on hatred? I don't think it's fair. We digging a grave, not just for ourselves, but for the generations to come who wouldn't be able to dig out of it. And what will be buried with all the dead bodies laid because of this hatred is our future. Our future as a community, as a country. Well, I think we might have already dug the grave. Hate and bigotry feed on each other. They germinate and flourish on a toxic diet of divisive and schematic ideologies, polarizing creeds that discriminate against human beings on the basis of color, region, gender, faith, and divide them between believers and non-believers, ranging the chosen ones against the idolaters.
हिस्सों में पूरे दिन आगजनी, पत्थरबाजी, दुकानों में तोड़फोड़ और मारपीट जारी रहा, जिसकी वजह से कई परिवार अपने घरों को छोड़कर जा चुके हैं। ये जो मेरे पीछे आप झुग्गियां देख रहे हैं, ये पूरी झुग्गियां खाली हो चुकी हैं।
पाकिस्तान, ये कान खोल कर सुन ले कि दूध मांगोगे तो खीर देंगे, कश्मीर मांगोगे तो चीर देंगे, चीर देंगे, चीर देंगे।
पालकों से बात करना चाहता हूं, क्या कारण है कि हिंदुस्तान दुनिया में सॉफ्टवेयर एक्सपोर्ट करता है और आपके हुक्मरान।
The ideology to divide people who are just as human as you are, to think you can take a human life just because whatever ideology you follow, whatever supernatural power you believe in says the other one doesn't deserve to live. As far as I know, no power that's beyond human greed, hatred, fear, and isn't infected by his own bigotry would want that. This little hatred of ours has become so deep-rooted in our mentality, our daily lives, that as soon as we look at someone who has some other beliefs, we start to despise them. This is a fact and we must face it. This isn't just a certain section of community, it's everyone now. The case wasn't the same few years back. Country has always been the most diverse country, but is it any more a blessing or now just a weapon for hatred and mass destruction? False prophets. One of the biggest contributors to this sense of revulsion for each other are people who claim themselves as the carrier of holy knowledge. But little do they know, they're nothing except a wolf disguised in a sheepskin. Someone pretending to be another. But why is it so dangerous is because they are not that only wolf disguised, but what they do is slowly but effectively slip an idea of anger and hatred amongst the ones following them. These people guise themselves well enough as the false prophets. What really makes these religious figures so intriguing has less to do with their seizable followings than the countless absurd ways they choose to wield and dispense their powers. Some have been venerated for their social service and upliftment of the poor, but others have chosen stranger ways to dispense their kripa. Others merrily puff away at street corners as mothers try to discreetly turn their children's head in opposite direction. If there's one thing we can't deny them though, it's their ability to weave amazing stories about their mere existence. They are the ones who manage to convince people by their moving stories to despise their non-followers. Not just by the stories, but also with all the false prophets, false miracles thing. Got them quite the views on Instagram. Almost every single religion, community, belief has a preacher who doesn't have a single clue about what he's preaching. What is actually done is some people who sit at high at the table manipulated these figures. I don't know, maybe sometimes money, sometimes political power to go out and make these false claims about the only supernatural power. And this cycle of hate, intolerance doesn't stop. How will it? Because at the end, who is the fool? It's us. It always has been us and it will always be us. Chapter 2, People High at the Table. I would like to recall an incident of Pandit Nehru. On December 1961, Jawaharlal Nehru, the first Prime Minister of India, visited Banaras Hindu University to address teachers and students on the birth anniversary of Madan Mohan Malaviya, Congress and Hindu Mahasabha stalwart who had founded the university. The tribute of Nehru, a socialist who had spent more than 10 years in jail during the freedom struggle, was glowing. He recognized in Malaviya, with whom he had differences in his lifetime, an amalgam of Indian ancient culture and modern knowledge. Malaviya ji paid attention to various aspects of national life. His attention was drawn right from the beginning to education and our ancient culture. That was at a time when education was available to a handful of people only and they were influenced by the Western. But at the same time, we were imbibing a great deal, which was not necessary but also harmful to us. Those who have innate self-confidence do not need to copy others. We had begun to copy the non-essential of Western culture. We paid less attention to the learning which had made Europe great. Nehru told the audience comprising teachers and students of Banaras Hindu University. Therefore, Malaviya ji drew our attention to the need to imbibe only the best from the West and at the same time to hold on to the invaluable heritage of Indian culture. He was himself extremely well versed in European culture and English language. He had great respect for Western science, so in a sense what he wanted to do was to link European science and Indian culture, the new Western industrial civilization with our ancient tradition. This is exactly what we are trying to do today. So he started this university with this great goal in mind. He was a perfect example of all the best in our culture, which is a soft heart and unbending principles. His capacity to build rather than destroy and to forge a link between opposing viewpoints, Nehru added. The yardstick to judge any great human being is whether he is a builder or a destroyer. This is especially true in India, where fissiparous tendencies are so many, whether a leader attempts to unite or separate gains greater significance. So let's ask ourselves this question now, whether our leaders are attempting to unite us or divide. As being a part of a minority, being a Muslim, I must say the recent times have been a nightmare for many of this community. I know people look at us differently just because some member of our belief went on to do the worst kind of things. And is that why a child or a senior citizen of this community who even has been a responsible citizen is called a terrorist?
The laws, judgments, and precedents are unanimous. The police are empowered can and must take urgent actions to curb rioting. As former police chief from Delhi tells us, the riots could have been stopped at many levels and stages, but they were not. The toll in the deadliest communal riots. Doctors reported gunshot wounds, crushed skulls and torn genitals. In India's capital since independence, in now up to 46 with 100 injured, the majority of those were Muslims. Over 3 days from 24th of February 2020, violent mobs took place, bludgeoned and stabbed people. They even burnt houses, shops, marketplaces and mosques. Journalists covering these riots were heckled, threatened and beaten. Many Muslim and Hindu residents agreed on one characteristic. Even as truckloads of unidentified masked men poured in, the Delhi police either stood by or went missing. One account said Hindus praised the police for saving lives, while Muslims said their calls for help went unanswered. Even after this horrific incident, does the government took any effective step? Unfortunately, no. Moving in this year itself, on 8th of May, when Mamang Waifihi was found hiding in the jungle for 3 nights after a mob attacked his village in Manipur, the remote Indian state where ethnic violence has reportedly killed at least 54 people. About 23,000 people have fled the unrest that erupted last week in the hilly northeast state bordering Myanmar. The latest clashes erupted between the majority Maithi people, who are mostly Hindu and live in around the state capital, Imphal, and the mainly Christian Kuki tribe of the hills. The Maithi people first burned down 26 or 27 houses, said Mamang, a father of 5 who is now sleeping out in an open army camp with about 900 others, bringing similar horror stories. There have been a lot of incidents, which makes me question whether or not the authorities are acting on the matter to be taken care of. To conclude this episode, let's go through some of the suggestions to prevent more communal violence in your country. First, effective law enforcement. Enhancing the presence and responsiveness of law enforcement agencies to prevent, control and respond to communal violence incidents. Second, rapid response and crisis management. Establishing specialized unit or rapid response forces to swiftly intervene and de-escalate situations of communal violence. Third, intelligence gathering and surveillance. Strengthening intelligence agencies to gather information, monitor potential threats, and preemptively address communal tension. Fourth, promoting dialogue and reconciliation. Encouraging peaceful dialogues, interfaith initiatives, and community engagement to foster understanding and reconciliation between different religious and ethnic groups. Fifth, prosecution and justice. Ensuring swift and fair legal action against perpetrators, regardless of their political or social affiliations, to promote accountability and deter future instances of communal violence. Last and important point is awareness campaigns and education. Conducting awareness campaigns and educational programs to promote tolerance, respect for diversity, and religious harmony in school, colleges, and communities across the country.
If only they had a heart to ask themselves, is this fair? The answer would be no, but the hatred and intolerance has seeped in our hearts, our minds, so deep we are blinded by it, more than we have been ever in the history of this country. And now, what are we getting of this? Violence? People killing each other, and it only makes my hands shake, my legs tremble, and the longer it takes to ask ourselves the right questions, the longer it takes to ask those in authority the right questions, we will continue to go down the rabbit hole of hate and bigotry together, no matter your religion.